Welcome to the Rad Dads podcast, brought to you by our custom made set, custom made chaos.
Custom made chaos. We paid an art director a lot of money.
A fart director.
A fart director to make it look like this. Yeah, my apologies.
You know, have you ever seen like how, you know, it's like art director, fart director? It'd be an easy mistake to make.
Absolutely.
Have you seen like those shows like Game of Thrones? They spend all of this money on that stuff, yeah, and someone still makes a mistake like, yeah, leaving a coffee cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that's that. You are, we're always in a sense of chaos, eh?
Mm.
We're trying to like control it, but you can't.
No, you can't. I have to be absolutely unashamed. It's my, like, you talk about art directors, and it's my one thing that I can truly name drop on. So I was working on a charity job a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And this art director was recommended to us to come in and do something. So I rung him and set up the time and had him in, and we talked about the vision for the project, and centered to the vision of this project was a friend of both of ours. Mm. Half jokingly, half seriously said, "I want a giant cardboard pig."
Okay.
In the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I had
a
to
pig.
Yeah, as in like sort of an indication of a piggy bank.
Yeah.
As I had to pitch to this guy that would really like him to make this literally 6 foot high.
Pitch being what?
Well, like as in...
No, what's pitch?
Oh, pitch, sorry, as in convince. Tell this guy that our vision for this project was to have this 6 foot high, 4 foot wide cardboard pig at the center of this set that he was going to build for us. And it was about halfway through the pitch for that I realized, and the penny dropped, I suddenly went, "Oh, I know who you are." And it was, you know, the BAFTA award-winning, Oscar-nominated art director from The Lord of the Rings.
Boom.
Who had actually said that he'd help us out. And I don't know, it was just in that moment that idea seemed really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you can imagine my surprise when he turned around and went,
"Love it."
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, well,
and he completely nailed it, by the way.
No, but his world is just as weird.
No, I know.
Like, okay, we need a giant... dwarf,
yeah,
you know, over there on as a big statue,
yeah.
Those sit at the airport now, eh?
Yeah.
I go check them out sometimes. I still marvel at that kind of scale, eh?
Oh man,
like
we
don't know, eh? Like,
nah,
I sometimes feel like when we're clearly not part of the Illuminati, because there's no scale to my life.
No,
it's very micro.
Yeah,
and if I can pay the bills in a week, it feels like I've won life.
But conversely, it's really easy, because I've thought this a number of times. Like, we were having a chat at work the other day, and it was like, "Oh, love the Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl's awesome." And he is. And I think he is very much the exception to the rule. But you go the opposite way and go, if you are a part of the Illuminati, we say this and it's going to get flagged all over the internet.
Is it?
I don't know.
Illuminati.
And, you know, like, you can control 100,000 people at Wembley and have them eating out of the palm of your hand. Like, is that normal? Like, and I think your ability to see the micro and see the little things in life that are of some sense of meaning becomes somewhat challenging.
Mm.
So it is. It's like I think it's that we got to live in our time and in our space, and it doesn't mean that we don't have aspirations to be in different parts and whatever. But I think it's problematic to believe that you don't have a different set of challenges when you're that guy.
It's just hard to think like that, though. Mm. It's hard to picture. It's hard for me to imagine why really rich people are unhappy. and I know that they are, because you constantly hear it. You know, they're constantly trying to suppress their unhappiness with consumerism, with drug use, and all of that stuff, as do poor people.
Mm.
And then you've kind of got the ones who, depending which lens you look through, are either rich or poor.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the middle.
Yeah. I do have to interject and just explain away my son above us.
I don't know if they'll hear it.
Counting. He might do. They might do. If you kind of hear, no.
I think someone might call the police.
Yeah. He's playing with his little brother, all right? It's okay. It's okay. No, I wholeheartedly agree. It is hard to see that.
Mm.
But I guess it's also about, you know, where you choose to derive value. You derive, ultimately, you aspire for the things that you can't have.
Yeah.
And so for...
Where do you think that comes from? I mean, is it survival? And I guess I'm talking, and I'm thinking in that space lately because I've started reading the book Sapiens.
Right.
And I can't tell you the author. One of the nice rad dads will pop it in the comments. But it's basically a look at... It's a best kind of guess at what the people were like before agriculture,
right.
The foragers,
yeah.
the you know, back in the day, you yeah. know, so it doesn't really conflict any of the bigger ideas. It's yeah. more like there's a plan, and whether that's a grand plan or a other type of plan, it's still been outlying itself.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to see where we are, because one of the kind of themes in that book is that, like, foragers
yeah.
were way happier than agricultural people. Because agricultural people, I think they're doing what we do, or we inherited what agriculture people did, which is you might not necessarily...
No offence to any of the farmers, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, maybe a little bit of offence. But we're all about saving for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or we're all about trying to provide for more.
Yeah.
Right? And that's really the setup of everything, eh? Like, as soon as a business goes well, the talk is scale.
Yeah. yeah
How
yeah.
do we scale?
Yeah.
And they talk about the fact that the foragers, A, didn't have shorter lifespans. That's a bit of a myth.
Yeah.
Based on what they had is a lot more infant mortality.
Yeah.
And so that skewed the stats to make it look like everyone died at 30, but they lived to 60, 70. The other thing was is that they worked probably 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like labor work. Because, you know, like a farmer has to weed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keep things organized.
He's producing
yeah.
rather
yeah.
than surviving.
And like quite physically tough work. Because, you know, to grow wheat, for example, they say in the book, it wasn't an easy thing to do. And it was a real weird thing for us to do because you couldn't eat it raw. It had to be looked after. It needed a lot of water. So it drove all of these innovations.
Yeah.
But and same with potatoes. They say the potato colonized the human because it really won. The potato won.
Yeah,
it's the boss of us. You know,
yeah,
it gets
yeah.
looked after. It gets all of these things. And corn probably the same now.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know. But the idea is that these foragers would kind of have these 6 hour work days, and this is just all kind of, I guess, hypothesized based off whatever they could. But I like the idea that they explain it that forager would wake up and go foraging,
yeah,
and find enough food, come home at 10 o'clock, eat,
yeah,
lie around for a couple hours,
and get back out.
Like, that sounds like mad mindfulness to me, you know, like yeah. you're only in the moment, your whole yeah. day's in the moment,
yeah.
And there's nothing about this, like, we've got to think about kids at uni or
yeah.
paying our taxes or organizing people who invoice you,
yeah, yeah,
you know, stuff like that,
yeah.
And I'm not saying, because I never would say that today is not awesome.
It's our weekly My Hello Fresh, brought to you by Hello Fresh.
What's that?
It's, you know, like the competitor to My Food Bag.
Oh, cool. Do you want to go and get it?
Are you going?
This is a hard case. Oh, so you guys get that?
Yeah, yeah, it's good times, cool? man. No, it's honestly, it's awesome. You don't think about what you're having to plan to eat.
So,
and you actually, you eat way better because you know that. Oh, just upstairs, mate. Yeah, thanks, dude.
It's hilarious. So they just cruise around and bring you your week's worth of food.
Yeah.
Go pitch me.
Okay, so yummy, tasty meals, right, that you like have an experience that you're like, wow, this is really good. You get them on a Sunday or a Monday.
Yep.
And you get all the meals. All the ingredients are there. It's all mapped out, ready to go. And then basically you go, I'm going to choose to have this one on this day, this one on this day, brown paper bag, color-coded, everything that you need for that meal in the brown paper bag ready to go. You chop it up, follow the recipe, yummy dinner.
Is it...
Honestly, like, we eat out way less because of it. Way, way, way less.
What do you mean? Eat like, out? Oh, I thought you were gonna, I thought you said we eat way less.
No,
that's not good.
No. You do eat a little bit less because obviously the portions are not fixed.
Red Dead scale.
Oh, no. I mean, very seldom do I want more. You might not necessarily have enough for leftover. Like, for us, there's six of us, and we cheat, and we kind of have a five-person plan, even though there's six of us. but because we only got little people. But honestly, man, we've cut down on the amount of times that you have, you know, you have that, oh, I can't be bothered cooking.
Man, that's something.
Because it's real. Honestly, it's so simple.
How do we reach out to them to be a sponsor on this podcast?
I guess we just give them a call.
That's what I love about New Zealand. I did a podcast this week with a fellow called Fraser Groot. Have you heard of him?
I saw the
little marketing post.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's interviewing one person every day for 10,000 days and asking them what's their dream.
Oh, wow, that guy.
And so
Yeah.
He's going to be like, he finishes in 2044.
Wow.
Every day. I mean.
Do you, how many has he done?
900 and something.
900.
Yep, every day. But so he says, what's your dream? Mm-hmm. And then they answer. And I brought him up for a reason. It was something relating to us talking about food. Anyway, this dude, he's going after it, and he's talking to all of these people and asking what's their dream. And, you know, I kind of, when he came on my podcast, I was talking about, like, you know, what even is a dream?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of agreed that it's something super magical.
Yeah.
And and that's as religious as anything. You know, that's what I look for now is, all right, so you're going to say you need proof. Why do you need proof about a dream?
Yeah.
Because it's something that you can, doesn't matter how articulate you are, you can write it down, you can re-record it. You can't prove to someone.
Yeah.
So there's heaps of things you can't prove. Even like a love for your child, prove it.
Yeah.
Hug them.
Give me some evidence.
Yeah, no, that's just a hug. Well, measure my brain when I mention their name.
Yeah.
You know, oh, great. Well, it also says that when we say sugar, you know.
So you're just saying my kids like sugar?
I'm saying all kids like sugar. But I mentioned them, maybe it will come back to my subconscious. It was something about...
You keep thinking, and I'm gonna. So, little side note.
No, that's it.
Oh, you go.
He, sponsors, that's what I was talking about. How do we get that company, what is it?
HelloFresh. If we keep saying it enough.
HelloFresh. What he does is he guesses people's emails. That's how he gets guests and celebrity guests.
Yeah.
And I was like... And the other thing is he emails hundreds of people and most say no.
Yeah.
So I was thinking if we want, you know, HelloFresh or anyone as a sponsor, maybe one strategy we could use is email 100 companies.
And then see whether we can get.
Just get one.
Yeah.
We'll just divvy 50 up and just send them the same thing. Hey, team, Rad Dad's here. We're a podcast. You know, we talk about fatherhood. We squeeze it into our busy lives. Would you sponsor us?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would be nice to have a food company sponsored, eh? Food or gas. And we've kind of had the gas.
We've had the gas. we can't talk about the gas.
Yes, we can.
All right. So little side note.
Yep.
We were trying to be interesting and change it up this morning and, you know, change location.
Yeah.
And so Will was awesome, and he came prepped with coffee. I was going to his house, even though he was supposed to be coming here.
Yep.
And I also had coffee too. So I'm going to go second round of coffee.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it.
Okay.
You want a second round?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Let's swap us out.
Okay. So while Greg goes and gets second coffee, Jack, come here. Greg's son, Jack, come sit down next to me. Hold on. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Tell me about yourself. Pitch yourself to me. What's your favorite thing to do?
Go BMXing.
Yeah, you love BMXing. So you ride for New Zealand, eh?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Do you get to do the haka?
yeah. once in like 11. We'll do like muddy 11s, and then like it'll just, if I make it into muddy 11s,
yeah,
I might be the leader of the haka.
Yeah,
because every season of muddy 11s, they do like, because it's like an Australian and Kiwi thing.
Yep.
And like, so the Kiwis represent Kiwis.
Awesome. You're a Kiwi, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, one last question before your dad comes back in with coffees. Because, you know, adults need coffee, eh? That's like our chocolate. You don't eat chocolate, eh, Jack?
I don't like dark chocolate.
You just like that yummy, nice one, eh? Caramel. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Either an NBA player or a famous BMX rider.
Regardless, you're going to be famous somehow. So can you promise me that me and your dad can always come and watch you for free?
Yeah.
You get us tickets?
Yeah.
Shot, bro. All right. Go do some mathematics. Good boy. Yeah. Go do some maths out the back. Yeah. Go do some tagging. You know what tagging is? Good boy. Right, round two coffees.
All
right. This better not be a...
Well, no, you said 100 companies. I just figured we'd go to different companies yeah. for coffee.
So we've had McDonald's and now Wild Bean Cafe.
Yeah. One of the two.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is being dodgy, eh? Like sitting in the garage drinking.
Coffee. This is the most free-form...
We're going to
Sunday morning
so
experience.
Jacked. So jacked after this.
It'll be all good. Yeah, we'll head up. Sorry, I just was recapping in my mind where we got to.
Oh, we're all over the place, but a little bit like our set and a little bit like life.
It is a
and
little
that's
bit.
Exactly what I like to acknowledge. And, you know, for me, it's this really weird space, bro, of podcasting and catching up with mates. I spend way more time talking like this now.
Yeah.
Recording it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that's what it takes for us to make an effort to get with each other,
yeah,
then I'm down.
What? Exactly. And it's that whole thing of in a busy life, you need a catalyst to be able to go, all right, we're going to do this. And it's good. It's really cathartic as well. It's like,
well, it's also
having a good yarn.
Everyone else kind of subconsciously, did you notice that everything's quiet now?
Yeah, I think everybody's gone outside. Yeah,
but they know Dad's doing his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess that's a nice reason to do something like a podcast because, you know, as we always reference, we're different to our fathers.
Oh, 100%.
That it is kind of not expected of us that we'll work, you know, 9 to 6 every day and then bugger off to do something for the weekend.
Yeah.
So for us to shoehorn this in, which it is, because there's always some other bad
like
thing to do.
Literally shoehorn.
Yeah.
Like we're shoehorned in the corner.
But that's what we got to roll with, mm-hmm. and that's what a father does. Hey, guess what I picked up yesterday?
What did you pick up?
My new podcast van.
Oh, exciting. What colour is it?
Grey.
Yep.
You would think I'd be really excited.
Yeah.
I'm more nervous.
Why?
Well, it just was such a build-up, and it ended up being quite a low-key affair, you know? I just rolled in. The dude was really nice, so I brought it off. New age cars. They look dodgy as, and it was pretty dodgy. It was Odahu, and I'm not, you know, geolocating dodgy zones, but it was pretty dodgy. But at the end of the day, like, I spend a bit of time trying to trust humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can only do so much, you know. Like, and this is probably a good metaphor for life. Like, I found him on Trade Me. I had a chat with him. I think that's a good step, chat. Yep. And then go and meet him and see the car. And, of course, everything looks beautiful on the outside.
Yeah.
That's the human condition today, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I took it to the mechanic and my old mate Roger.
Oh, Rog.
Yeah. Roger was my dad's mechanic.
Ah.
And Roger inherited my son, my dad's son, me. But Roger's old school mechanic, and he still invoices you at the end of the month.
Right.
So it's really cool because you can rack up thousands of dollars of bills and not pay it then. And then you get an invoice and you're like, oh, no. Sometimes I call Roger and I'm like, hey, bro, any chance I could just pay a little bit off each month. Yeah, yeah, all right. How's your dad?
Good, good.
Yeah, yeah, because my dad bought quite a few trucks, business trucks through him.
Yeah.
And so it's like you just slip in. And it's part of being a dad, eh? Like you wanna try and have that your kid can just leverage a little bit off you.
When was the last? So this is the question as well, because it's like there's this weird crossover point, and you're old enough that you want to begin to leverage some of your dad's contacts, right?
Yeah.
But then when do you become too old to reference being your dad's son? Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Oh, dad, that's right. You know that guy down there. Oh, right, yeah, cool, yeah. Cool.
Nah.
And then you try and do the intro, and then you realize I'm a mid-30s father of four, yeah. And I'm trying to introduce myself to this guy as Phil's son.
Yeah, nah, I think
it just I don't know.
This?
It feels weird.
You just can do it forever.
Really?
Yeah. Because also, we're not people who were kicked out of home at, 18 with $5 and said good luck. Like, were you?
I may or may not have left home when I was 16.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you kicked out?
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, well, you can't reference your dad.
I wasn't.
Me, yeah. I may have not left home when I was, already had kids.
No,
but the thing is that it's a change, right? We always talk about that change in, the fatherhood and all those things. So I still don't think, I'm just a millennial. Mm. So you're a millennial too.
Yeah, just.
I didn't know that until earlier this year.
It's a bit of a sliding scale as well.
It is. But my point is we're most likely more spoiled than they were, which kind of offset a little bit of that trauma development.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You've got a bit of trauma, Greg, but we can go into that another time. I think you deal with it quite well.
Just the life lived, mate.
Yeah, just the life lived. Yeah, yeah. You got a lot of spark in you.
Oh, stop it. Thanks.
Stop it. Look at that coffee is kicking in. But the point is that I think we have a bit more slack on our rope.
Mm.
We may be a bit more slack as well, but we have a bit more slack. So I think it's not up to us just to be like, I'm an independent man. I don't think that's going to suit us going forward. I think it's more like what we do on Rad Dads, where it's like we have our individual sides, we have our get-together sides.
Yeah,
we can leverage each other. Like, why should we do you a deal? Because I'm a dad. I reckon you can say that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's my dad,
Yeah.
So I'm just going to – I want to believe in that. Because otherwise I have to pay my mechanical bills on the spot.
On time. You're like, oh, man.
That's all Roger says to me. Yeah, all right, mate.
Yeah.
I said, so he checked out this vehicle. It's a Nissan NV200.
Oh, yeah.
Vanette. It's something that no tradie wants because it's smaller than a normal van.
Yeah.
And if you're a tradie, you got to have a big van.
Big van because you got a lot of tools.
You got to cruise around.
Yep.
And you got to have a big van. And mine's a little van, and it's a 1.5cc or something.
What, 1500?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a little ring.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It's got a max load of 600. So before I, 600 kg, before I went to sleep last night, I was doing the math and I rounded me up to 150. And then I thought, well, if I have another 150 next to me, that's 300. So the set can't be over 300 kg.
Well, no, that's only if it's moving. So you can drop your.
Maybe it will be. No,
do you want me to drive for you so you can podcast on the go?
Well, I was thinking maybe because I kind of been thinking about all of these solutions with air conditioning, and it's got an air conditioner in it.
Yeah.
So I thought if I could run it and park it, I mean, it'd be a bit dodgy. You'd be hopping in a running car. Anyway, so I picked that up, and now the plan is, so hey, any of the dads out there listening, depending when you're listening to this, if it's around July 2019, can you please send me an email, raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com. Any builders that you know who would hook a brother up, I'll pay them. I just need a builder to come and help me measure, cut, and I want to do all the screwing together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to screw it up. And I don't know. I've kind of got a plan, and I'm just being a bit naive, you know?
Oh, no, no, 100%. That's the best thing that you can do. I think that's it's also, though, you talk about millennials. There's a certain degree of, I think, millennial fathers especially sit in this weird position of the expectations on us to know how to do stuff are there, but we may or may not have had the same level of experience.
Yeah.
But we sit in that kind of naivety that says, well, I've kind of seen it done before.
I've heard that.
I'm sure I can do it. And if all else fails and I get stuck, I'll just look for a YouTube tutorial.
Yeah. Or I'll call my old man.
Or conversely, I'll call.
It's exactly like that. Like, I've been duck shooting since I was, 10. Yet I don't have a gun license.
Yeah.
And that's okay if you're on private property, by the way. But I have a duck shooting license, but my dad always gets that. That's his thing.
Yeah.
So I'm worried, like, one day he's not here.
Yeah.
I'm like 50. And it's like, then I'm the rookie at 50 going to get a gun license and look real dodgy.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the other payoff of them taking on the heat for us, you know, taking on the, you know, maybe they looked at the dark side a bit more. So that we didn't have to. I'd like to think that's how life works. You know, you don't have to struggle because I did, type thing. And that makes sense, like, psychologically.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you think about their parents, for example.
I think our parents were in a really interesting space of being, you know, like we've said, post-war. And really it was about accumulate as fast as you could.
You could, though. Don't you think?
Oh, 100%. But that's why. I think that's why you found, you know, the dads going out and just working as much as they could, because the opportunity was there. If I accumulate, and this concept of spend 40 years, 50 years accumulating as much as you can and then hit 60 and then hit the cruise pedal because you've got this nice big thing that you can accumulate and then kind of live off for the rest of your life. It was conceivable that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Because the conditions were ripe for it.
You traded in the now for then.
Yeah. In a bit. Yeah.
Well, we're kind of then, would it be fair to say we're moving back to more of a forager state where,
what, again, I mean,
we're living a higher standard of living now with the risk of then not being, you know, not being as secure?
Not to sound like the broken record and the whole exponential development thing, but exponential curve, yeah? We draw it, we go, ooh, oh, and we take off, right? So when you're down here, the horizon is only just a little bit above where you're looking.
Right.
So you can see it. And you can go, okay, cool. So I'm going to get from point A, where I am now,
yep,
to point B, and I can see the trajectory because it feels linear. Mm-hmm. It feels like if I do this, and this, I'll climb the ladder. And I think what's happened in probably the last 10 to 15 years is we've suddenly realized that this is not linear. This is not just a linear line that's going to go off into the future. There's actually this exponential part that's starting to take off. And so the steeper the curve, the less we can see of the horizon, so the more uncertain life gets. So therefore, our ability to play this kind of long game that says A plus B equals C, and we know that logically in 10, 20, 30, 40 years' time, this is what it's going to look like because we've got this kind of trajectory that plays out, it's not there anymore. So life becomes more and more and more and more uncertain. So that's essentially, that's disruption 101, but that's why for us, this whole idea of, you know, accumulate, hit pause, you know, pause at 65, then kind of cruise for the rest of it, it's just completely nonsensical. And it's making less and less sense each day that goes by.
Yeah, I hear you. Ooh, I'm getting a call. Who's that?
just roll with it, freeform.
What's my wife?
All right, is this a good time for us to...
It is, no. Oh, now I'm, if I don't answer, I'm ditching, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'll apologize later because that's the beauty of being a husband. So one thing I wanted to run past you is I've had this kind of idea of, I'm 38.
Mm-hmm.
That means 40 in 2 years.
Yes.
At 40, have you ever seen the 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, yes.
But I have this idea of the 40-year-old stand-up.
40-year-old stand-up.
So don't start stand-up comedy until you're 40? Yeah. And so what I thought I'd do is, but I've got 2 years to basically write myself 5 minutes. Because, you know, that's open mic time.
Yeah.
Three to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of like start learning, but be practicing the whole time.
Yeah.
And then get up there and do 5 minutes and work out if I like it or not.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the ultimate kind of weirdness, that you'd spend 2 years for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'll either like it, but at least you'll be prepared, you know? So I wrote my first bit or my first joke.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And
cool.
It's not kind of formed yet, but I thought if I, on the Rad Dads podcast, put it at the end every time, these things, I can go back and isolate them and rework them.
Yeah, totally.
So the first bit is I kind of come out on stage and I'm speaking in Arnold.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I'm like, hi, you know, real confident. How are you? Nice to see you. Hey, you're here. Fantastic. And everyone's like, oh, that's Arnold. And then I kind of go into saying, like, speaking like Arnold is really cool. You can be really confident and you can, you know, tell your kids, tidy your room. Come on, hurry. You know, but because I married a German, they think I'm talking like mum. So it's not cool for them because mum growls them. So when I said, tidy your room, they're like, why are you talking like mum? She's always telling us to do that. And then the bit or the joke rolls into, what would it be like to be married to Arnold?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and how weird that would be. You know, hey, honey.
Yeah.
You know, how was your day? Fine. And yours, you know. And then I was thinking, like, this is where it gets a little bit mature. If you were, you know, you have your lovemaking time, but it was with Arnold. And then what would dirty talk be like with Arnold? You know, like, hi, how are you? Go on, do it. Do it now. What are you waiting for? And then Arnold would, you know, come on, hurry. Dude, I'm here. What are you waiting for? Come on.
Yeah.
So that's the first bit.
Oh, dear. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
So,
you could extrapolate that whole joke out into just a whole commentary on movie stars and catchphrases and living vicariously through their catchphrases.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like it. It's good. It's a good start, man. Good start.
Thanks.
I'm envious. You've taken the whole stand-up thing next level. I've always said that that's one thing that I've always wanted to try as well.
Well, it's one thing that scares the living daylights out of most people.
Yeah.
Because you are, like, it's different to, like, speak deeply or speak harshly. To make someone laugh is an involuntary response because you either do or you don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of different to, like, it's not imaginary.
No, it's binary. Like,
it's one of the things in life that you have tears and laughter.
Yeah.
And you can speak. And those three things have interweaving ways.
Well, I'll tell you what, man.
I'll just text my wife. You keep talking.
You do your thing. And then once you've got it sussed, we could, like, you know, you do your solo act. And then I'm down for, like, Rad Dad stand up. And then we can just basically become a stand-up duo that make millions touring the world telling dad jokes.
Sounds good.
I love it.
Wrap it up for us.
All right. So thanks for joining us today on, albeit a slightly whimsical, crazy Sunday morning in my garage surrounded by my children's toys and multitude of bikes and an open garage and an inquisitive child and water running.
Would we want it any other way?
No.
That's
no.
What we want. We no. want the chaos.
No, I know. And there's a certain vulnerability that I have exposed to the world this morning. So I appreciate you being kind and gentle with me.
Well, if anyone who would complain, like, why would they complain?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm over that.
Yeah.
I'm over worrying about people complaining. If it's to our face, then that's a different thing.
Yeah.
If it's a serious threat, that's a different thing. But just having the ability, like, we're old enough on the social media thing now that knowing that having the ability to just raise your voice or say something contrary to whatever's going on is only part of the solution.
Yes.
It's something like you have to pose the problem and pose a solution.
Yeah.
And really
be a part of the solution.
If you're worried about that, they would say, oh, look at, like, it's a kid's room. They're supposed to be chaotic.
Yeah.
Like, you know what happens when we keep things tidy? Kids don't
use stuff.
Build an immune system.
No.
You know what happens when you have a $20,000 camera that sits in a $15,000 case? It doesn't get used. Because everyone treats it like a piece of
gold.
Right.
Mm.
And how about we just treat gold like gold, and the rest of the stuff's up for interpretation.
Yep. We need to use it.
Yeah, screw that. Come on. Oh, man, what if I was also thinking, if the Arnold thing goes well,
yeah,
I could get some surgery to look more like Arnold. like, you know, the deep fake stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe someone could, like, deep fake Arnold on me. Come on, do it. But come on, hurry.
If you were to line up a second voice off, you know, that you'd learn to do, because obviously, like, it's impressive that was a learned thing.
Mm. And especially because I have to lower my register for it. Yeah, I don't have a naturally deep voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like yeah.
Who would be your next?
Ooh,
iconic voice.
I'd like to. That's an interesting one. I don't know. Maybe someone like Christopher Walken or someone, but everyone does him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have a think, and I'll maybe give it a go on the podcast next time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I'm keen to hear who you'd do next.
Is that us?
I think it is.
Right. Please subscribe. Please share the podcast. This all helps us get out there to get our sponsors.
If you know anyone at HelloFresh, drop us a line.
Please introduce us to a new dad who doesn't know about Rad Dads and the podcast movement, or the movement in general that we're on. We're just a couple regular Joes, eh?
Mm, that's all we are.
Who buy two coffees and chop them both and
start the day
on Sunday. Jacked out of our head. all right, cheers everybody for listening, and we'll see you in the next edition of the Radical Dadical podcast.
Not a radical.